best used of pitchers, McGowan was the other one. McGowan and Runge were my two favorites. Hmm. They were the type of umpires that didn't make you, you know, get inside the strike zone that much. You could pitch outside the strike zone. As long as you was consistent, and they were consistent calling.
Yeah.
And they want the hitters to swing, not stand up and take pitch after pitch and make a long game. So they're both pitchers, pitchers umpires. So they were really good. I think, to be honest with you, Runge, I wish there was some way I could find this out, but I don't think I ever lost a game in my major league career with him behind the plate.
Is that right?
I get all kinds of shutouts of that I remember now, because your memory gets
I didn't bring different. If you have a pencil handy, let me, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put this on, Sabre has an internet thing.
Great, I love
and everybody does research on everything. I'll make a note of that.
Yeah, I'd like to know. Ed Runge would be the best, because McGowan retired. His son, later on, umpired in the major league, but he's also retired.
Oh.
Look at the excursion boat coming back in.
I don't know if anybody has research on there or not, but I will. Do you have an email address? Oh, look at that.
That's both coming in. The excursion boat goes down the aisle.
That's beautiful. Do you have an email address?
No, I don't.
Okay, I can get back to you by the old fashioned way, telephone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would the batters probably wouldn't agree that Ed Runge was there for
No, they were not. But I tell you, some of them, you know, the routine guys would holler all the time, but some of them didn't mind because he was consistent. You know what he was going to do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would guess the thing would drive everybody nuts is, and that's what the complaint is today, is you don't know how they're going to call a game.
No, the umpires, it's hard to say. I don't think they're any better than they are today, but they are very consistent. And there are some umpires. I don't know who that would be in the major league today. Who would be that consistent? There were some bad umpires. But I'm not going to name names like that because they were just, they had rabbit ears, and you could say here and say, well, they'd beat you the rest of your life. I mean, they'd do anything.
And make you pay for it.
Oh, God, yes, yeah.
Did they tend to last long tour?
Oh, sure. I had one umpire that it was so bad with me, and I never did nothing to him.
Yeah.
I wasn't a yeller from the dugout or anything. He took it against me, and they never again allowed me to pitch with him behind the plate.
Is that right?
No. Good management knows that.
They said, well, I never thought of that.
Yeah. Good management. They take get certain pitchers to work with certain umpires.
Match the pitchers of the umpire. Interesting.
Yeah.
Forgive me for bouncing around again, but by what I thought occurs in my head, and I mentioned in Milwaukee in 1957-58, and one of the things that was really infamous, they still talk about it back there. We talk about the Braves more than the Brewers now, for sure. Was the infamous Bush League. Was that Hank Bauer or was that?
No. We was on a bus, and we just got. Oh, we just flew in.
Bushville, I think.
Yeah, we came in by train.
You went to Browns. You trained at Browns Lake.
Browns Lake. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they were having a parade before the World Series start. So they asked us to be in the parade. So the club agreed. And so we were sitting there at the parade and in the bus, the whole team, we've been traveling, either flying or probably flying, but we've been sitting there now for an hour and a half and nobody has showed up. And nobody showed up. They're waiting on the mayor and the mayor hadn't showed up, that if I remember right. I might be wrong on that. Then all of a sudden, some representative of the parade came in our bus and said, "Fellas, we're sorry, we're waiting on so-and-so, it'll be just another 15 minutes. And Gus Monch, the trainer, said, "Well, this is really Bush."
So it was Gus.
Gus Monch is the one that said it.
And it was.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't talking about Milwaukee.
No.
He was talking about the situation.
That's right, it's really Bush. It had nothing to do with, this is a Bush city.
Yeah.
This is Bush. And,
yeah.
And then they blew that off.
Well, I knew that. I mean, nobody complained when Kareem at that time wanted to leave Milwaukee and go someplace else because it was too small. It wasn't a put down. It's a small city.
Yeah,
I mean, compared to New York or Los Angeles or something.
Yeah, that's like people saying that. Well, I don't know why the Dodgers ever lost. Well, that's Brooklyn. You don't? My God Almighty! I mean, they get to go out there and they give them all that land that there's oil underneath that land. They ever drill them and they get a brand new stadium, it's financed and everything.
Money.
Yeah, and they said all they had here is a ballpark to hold 35,000 people, no way to do anything with anything. Give me a break.
What traditions? I just see it really, I really got a bad feeling. You see, they changed the, and even though it's the new Comiskey Park, they changed it to a corporate name now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what causing this thing to go.
Well, you know,
people. $60 million or something. Do I blame them? But it's disappointing. Well, Bob, I think we've covered most in my. Just two quick ones, if you don't mind. One is, what were your recollections of Don Larson's game? I know that's been beaten to death too, but just another. And you probably talked about it.
Obviously remembered real well.
Yeah.
The other parts of it you don't see in the papers, you don't remember, is that he started the second or third game of that World Series, and Casey took him out of the game, and he was winning 3-1 or 4-1 or something like that, and he took him out in the third or fourth inning. Larson got mad, like a lot of
people. As you would have.
Yeah, I would too. So they took him out of the game, and so I said, heck with that. So Don was noted for drinking a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't carouser with women, but he bummed around with the guys who were either the police officers and the guys who worked in the stands, or ordinary people, you know. And I remember he said, man, they'll pitch again, you know. And I remember that morning playing a day game, and he locked right next to me. And what they did, they never tell us. You knew you were going to pitch, but they didn't tell you.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and they wouldn't tell you. And when you came in the clubhouse, Jim Turner would take a baseball, or Frank Corsetti would, he'd do stuff, and bring it over and put it in your shoes. And when you walked in and looked down there and you see the baseball, new baseball was there, you knew you was pitching that game. Nobody had to tell you that.
Okay.
So I remember sitting there, and he came in, and I honestly don't think he'd been to bed all night.
I think his recollections were similar, yeah.
Yeah, and he walked there, and he looked down at the ball, he looked at me, and he walked right in the clubhouse, and then lay down, went to bed on the train, and slept. Well, the game starts at 1 o'clock, I think it was 1, might have been 2, whatever time it was, but he did that till 30 minutes before the game, got a little rub down, went out, warmed up, pitched a perfect game.
Now, when were you guys aware that it was a
game? Well, you always get aware of that type of stuff around the middle of the game.
Yeah.
From the fifth and sixth inning, guys pretty much know what's going on then. Yeah, but that was a perfect game, not just the other one.
Yeah, and in the World Series.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in college that time. I remember watching it on TV saying,
best game I ever pitched in my major league career was in the World Series. It was the next day. Against the Brooklyn Dodgers. In Brooklyn, Clem Levine was a pitcher against me.
Yeah.
I got beat 1-0 in 10 innings, set a World Series strikeout record the next day, but nobody remembers
that.
But what they do now is everybody comes up to me, so I remember your perfect game because I won all the games, and that's the only thing he did his whole career.
Okay? Sad timing, Bob.
Yeah. So, and the next day, you look at, it was either a three-hitter or a four-hitter, I'm not quite sure, but I remember. This is my wife, Carolyn.
Oh, hi, Carolyn.
Hi.
Hey,
Barry. Nice. You guys are working right
through
lunch.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm heading off pretty soon here because...
Would you like a Coke or something?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you, though. Just,
I didn't offer him anything.
But I
make some coffee?
Well, I find that my wife's a decorator also. She plays the piano. She doesn't paint. So I feel right at home with
does
you.
Does she sing?
Yes, she does.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, she sings in a bel canto. Thing.
Oh my goodness.
So, every
your home is up north, though. Right?
We live in Milwaukee. Yeah, we're just down for the month. We come down every month to Naples.
Every month?
To every February.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But she's involved in tree commissions and things like that back there. So she's got to save our city.
Oh,
she can't be away for more than a month. Well, she would enjoy seeing the place. She's like I said, she's a decorator. So.
Well, we haven't done anything yet, but the floor, I just love the floor, and we need some color and things out here, so it'll be fun.
So you're the head decorator in the house?
Mm-hmm. Well...
Yeah, Bob says you're better at that, but he was better at pitching.
He was better at pitching, and I think it's... I spend the money. I think it's scripture or something like... Hezekiah 5:4, doesn't it say... The man shall make the money and the man shall spend it.
If you say it's true, right?
Yeah. I was going to tell you that Junior Gilliam got the first hit. Enos Slaughter was playing left field for us. He came over from the National League.
Yeah.
And he hit a high fly ball.
And he dropped it.
No, he didn't drop it. He lost it to Sonny. He turned his back and the ball dropped down. That was the first hit. Second hit was by Clem Labine, and it was...
Was he not a good hitter?
No, but he hit a routine fly ball down the left field line in Ebbets Field. It's real close to the mound.
Mm-hmm.
He ran over, hit the wall, fell down, and the ball landed right on his side. That was the second hit.
Oh, my.
And then the third hit, the one, I remember, and it might have been another name, but I don't think so. But the third hit was, Junior Gillian was on second, and I think Duke Snyder was on first, two outs. Jackie Robinson was a hitter. He hit a line drive right at Enos. All Enos had to just stand there and catch the ball, but he hustled in, and the ball went over his head, and we got beat 1-0.
That had to hurt. You could not have been a happy camper.
No, not really.
Okay.